Okay, well, I want to turn you then to that passage that I read from in John's Gospel and chapter 10. John's Gospel and chapter 10. And in verse 11, we have these words, "I am the good shepherd." And we have it again in verse 14. Jesus says again, "I am the good shepherd." So if you've been watching on over these past weeks, then you'll know that we're going through the seven I am sayings of Jesus that are recorded for us in John's Gospel. This is our fifth one that we come to this morning. So on Easter Sunday morning, we began with I am the resurrection and the life. And then we went back to John 6, Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. And then Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. And then last week, I am the door from this passage. And as we came to consider that statement, I am the door, we were taken back, weren't we, into that world of first century shepherding in Palestine, because we saw that when Jesus spoke about the door, he's thinking about the door to a sheepfold. Actually, the door to a sheepfold was just a gap in one of the walls of the sheepfold, where the sheep would go in, but in which the shepherd would stand like a door, letting the sheep in, counting them in, watching them as they came in, checking them as they came in, and then sitting in the door to protect them once they were in. And we saw that Jesus is saying in that expression that he is the way into God's flock. He is the way into God's people, into God's family. We enter by him as we come and we trust in him. And we saw that as we do that, he says, we will be saved and we'll go in and out and find pastures. We'll know forgiveness and we'll know freedom and we'll know fullness. He's the way in. He's the protection once we're in. Well, we're obviously continuing in that sort of world of shepherding and sheep when we come to this next I am saying in the same passage, actually just a couple of verses on from I am the door, when Jesus says, first of all in verse 11 and then in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. And this is a picture and a truth that's so encouraged and helped Christians down through the centuries, not just as a picture, but as an experienced as a reality, as we've known the Lord keeping us, guiding us, feeding us, meeting our needs, leading us with us in the green pastures of life, in life's joys, but also with us in the valleys, in the struggles, even in the valley of the shadow of death. It's a precious picture. So what do I want to do this morning? Well, most of you watching on this morning are Christians, and I want to just remind you of your shepherds and remind you that he's good and remind you of what he's done for you and what he continues to do for you, so that you'll be encouraged to stick closely with him and follow him and trust him and look to him. And then if you're watching on and you're not a Christian, then my desire this morning, my concern this morning, is to help you to see that you need a shepherd. And that Jesus is that shepherd that you need, and that you must hear his voice, and that you must follow him. So we've just got two headings this morning. They're simple. You children can understand these headings. Anyone can understand these headings. The first heading is this: we need a good shepherd. And then the second heading is, there is a good shepherd. I mean, it's not rocket science, is it? Two headings. There, we need a good shepherd. And secondly, the good news is there is a good shepherd. So first of all, let's think about this. We need a good shepherd. We need someone to lead us and guide us and help us and protect us. Now, on lots of levels, we all recognize that. We've just been celebrating VE Day, the 75th anniversary of VE Day, how our country needed a great leader in that Second World War. We needed someone, didn't we, to inspire us and lead us, someone who could speak to the nation and give us hope as a nation, someone we could look up to. And of course, Winston Churchill was the man for the moment, wasn't he? He was exactly what we needed. And we all recognize a good leader and generally are prepared to follow one. Well, the Bible says that In the ultimate sense, we all need a leader. We need a good shepherd. Now, I'm sure that most of you, many of you, are too sensible to have Facebook. But from time to time on there, something will come on my feed suggesting something like this. It's normally because one of my friends has done this, and it will come up and it will say, if you were a car, or if you were a film star, or if you were a Lord of the Rings character, which one would you be? And well, I've never done it, but I imagine if you click on that link, you'll be asked various questions and it will come up with an answer for you. Well, imagine there was one that said, if you were an animal, which animal would you be? I'm sure there probably is one that does that. Well, what answer would you be hoping for? If you were an animal, which animal would you be? Perhaps you'd be hoping, you know, you'd be a lion or a cheetah or a bear or some impressive animal. Well, if you could ask that question of the Bible, if I were an animal, which animal would I be? The answer it would come back with is this, a sheep. Now, you might be rather disappointed. You might be wanting something more impressive than that. But that would be the Bible's answer. That's what the Bible's answer is. And not because, sadly, not because sheep are rather nice and sweet and cuddly. But to be honest, it's because they're rather simple. Or we might say foolish. And because they're weak and vulnerable and prone to wander off and get lost. And because they need a good shepherd. Now, you might not like that thought, but that's what the Bible says is true of each one of us, that though we might like to give the impression that we're strong and we've got everything sorted in life and we know the direction we're heading in and we can do it on our own, the truth is that we're weak and vulnerable. And it doesn't take very much to make us afraid. And we very often mess up and need help. And the Bible says that ultimately without Jesus, we're all lost. We've wandered away from God. We've left his ways and we're stumbling about. I mean, maybe sometimes life's a bit smoother and perhaps we think we're okay, but life has a tendency to get rough and tough, doesn't it? And then perhaps we realize how lost we are and how alone we are and how helpless and needy we are and how we haven't got all the answers after all. And we need a good shepherd. And actually, in many ways, even if we discount our sin for a moment, that's just the way God's made us. God didn't make us to go it alone. He made us to live in dependence on him, in relationship with him, walking with him, following him, trusting him, looking to him. We were made to know our ultimate happiness as we're led and guided with God as our leader and as our shepherd. And then even more so now that we're sinners. I mean, we need even more a good shepherd, someone to save us, someone to keep us and guide us and feed us, and someone to bring us back to God and keep us close to God. We need a good shepherd. There's one occasion recorded in the Gospels, recorded in Mark 6, one of the places it's recorded, Mark 6:34, when Jesus is faced with a great crowd of people. They've come out to meet him and to see him and to listen to him. And it says this, it says he was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. In other words, they were lost, they were vulnerable, they needed help. And that's how God looks upon us. That's what we are. We're sheep without a shepherd. I wonder whether you'd recognize that about yourself. I wonder whether you're willing to admit that this morning, that you need a good shepherd, that you need guidance. You need someone to tell you who you are and where you are and where you're heading and to lead you in a better direction. That you need someone to rescue you and save you and protect you and keep you. You need someone to feed you because you've got hungers and longings that you can't meet and stuff can't meet and nobody else can meet. Are you ready to admit that? I mean, if you're a Christian here listening on this morning, you know that, don't you? We know that. We've come to accept that and realize that. We're willing to recognize and sense that we need a shepherd. We need someone that we can look to and we can trust in and who can save us and who can meet our needs and feed us. And we've come to recognize that Jesus is that one. So there's the first point this morning. We need a good shepherd. Have you ever seen that? Are you willing to admit that this morning? It's true of every one of us. Can I just say to those of us who are Christians watching on, have we forgotten that? We can get self-confident, can't we? We can wander away. We can stop listening. And perhaps we just need to be reminded again, we need a good shepherd. We are weak and prone to wander. And we need the shepherd's voice. So that's the first thing. We need a good shepherd. And the second thing is good news. There is a good shepherd. So Jesus says in this passage, I am the good shepherd. Again, not just I am a shepherd, but I am the shepherd. I am the good shepherd. That Greek word translated good includes meaning morally good, morally pure, but also sort of carries the idea of worthy, noble, the excellent shepherd, we might say, exactly the shepherd that we need. Everything that we need is found in this shepherd. And so what I wanted to do now is just think about what makes Jesus the good shepherd. Why he's the good shepherd. What makes him good? What makes him excellent? And I've got three things. First of all, he's the good shepherd because of his person. Because of who he is, in other words. He's the good shepherd because of who he is. You see, once again, in these words, Jesus is making a huge statement about himself. Now, we've seen already each week with that expression that Jesus uses, I am, ego eimi, I am, that Jesus is taking that the I am name of God to himself. But now here, by declaring himself to be the good shepherd, he's once more claiming that he's God's. That's what he's saying about himself. You see, that picture of God being our shepherd is not a new thing that Jesus has suddenly come up with, is it? It's there throughout the Old Testament. That God is our shepherd. So if you have a Bible, you can turn right back to Genesis, first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 48. And verse 15, this is Jacob speaking at the end of his life. So you have Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the great patriarchs of the nation of Israel. And Jacob, at the end of his life, says this in Genesis 48, verse 15. He blessed Joseph and said, God before whom our fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day. Now that translation in my Bible, the New King James, I'm not quite sure why they've translated it in that way, because the word fed there is the word for shepherd. It's the same word used in Psalm 23, verse 1. So many translations translate this, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long. I mean, Jacob was aware of that God had been his shepherd. He'd led him, he'd kept him, he'd fed him, he protected him all his life long. So that right at the beginning, there's that picture of God, the shepherd of his people. And then, of course, Psalm 23, verse 1, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. You have it in Psalm 28, verse 9, save your people and bless your inheritance, shepherd them also and bear them up forever. Or Psalm 80, verse 1, give ear, O shepherd of Israel. And you have this picture of God as the shepherds of his people. Isaiah 40 is another great example, that great chapter of Isaiah, which is full of that magnificent pictures of the greatness and the power and the awesome might of God. And yet also in the middle of that picture, he will feed his flock like a shepherd and gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. So God is the shepherd of his people. So when Jesus comes and makes this declaration, I am the good shepherd, He's doing it against all that background, and he's claiming that position for himself, because he's claiming, and as he does that, he's claiming divinity for himself, isn't he? This is why he's the good shepherd, because he's none other than God himself. And no one other than God himself can be the good shepherd, because that's who we need as our shepherd. We've been made to have God as our shepherd. No one other than God can save us. No one other than God can satisfy us. No one other than God can ultimately be our shepherds. So Jesus can be the good shepherd because of his, he is the good shepherd because of his person, because of who he is. Now, we said it many times as I've gone through this series, everything about Jesus backs up that claim. I mean, it's an extraordinary claim, but he is an extraordinary person. And so his life, his teaching, his miracles, his authority, his death, his resurrection, the ongoing impact of life-changing impact of his life, all back up this claim that he is God. That he is the one who can rightly describe himself as the good shepherd. So that 2,000 years after his life here on earth, around the world today, there are thousands and millions of people who rejoice to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. He's the good shepherd because of his person. Again, if you're not convinced about that, read his life, read the Gospels. Listen to his words. He's the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd because of his person. Secondly, he's the good shepherd because of his devotion. His devotion to his sheep. So we've got two verses where it says, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Look at verse 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. And then he says this, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So on Friday, VE, day, we were reminded, weren't we, again, of the sacrifice of so many for our nation, and we're so profoundly thankful for that. Well, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And that, of course, is bringing us to the heart of the Bible, isn't it? The heart of the Bible's message. It's bringing us to the cross. It's bringing us to the death of Jesus. Here's why Jesus came. Here's why God became flesh, in order to go to the cross and die for us. Now, what can we say about his death from John chapter 10? Well, we can say this, first of all, that his death was clearly a what we would call a substitutionary sacrificial death. And you might say, well, that sounds complicated, but really it just means this. He died for his sheep. He died in the place of others. That was what was happening at the cross. He was dying as a sacrifice and as a substitute, standing in the place of others, of sinners, of his people, of his sheep, taking our punishment, taking our judgment. So here Jesus is pictured as the shepherd, but of course, elsewhere, even in John's gospel, he's pictured as the Lamb, isn't he? The Lamb of God. John records in chapter 1, John the Baptist saying, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So his death is a sacrificial, substitutionary death. I've already mentioned Isaiah chapter 40. You remember in Isaiah chapter 53, we have this picture of sheep, don't we? You remember what it says in Isaiah 53? Perhaps you don't know. Listen to this. It says this, we all like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. That's us. That's our life. That's what we've done. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, the sin of us all. All our sin, all our straying has been laid on Jesus. He's taken it. He's borne it in his death. It was a sacrificial death. It was a voluntary, willing death. We can say that very clearly from this passage as well, can't we? It says he, the good shepherd, gives his life for the sheep. And then down in verse 15 and to verse 18, it makes it very clear, doesn't it? He puts it like this. He lays down his life. And it makes clear no one can take his life from him. It wasn't an accident. He wasn't just caught up unexpectedly in this. He gives his life. He lays down his life. He has the authority to lay it down and to take it up again, he says. So it's a willing, voluntary death. I mean, sometimes shepherds did die defending their sheep, just like many soldiers did in the wars defending our country. But of course, they'd hoped not to die. They'd hoped to come back. But Jesus goes to the cross knowing he's going to die, willing, laying down his life readily for us. It was a sacrificial death. It was a voluntary, willing death. It was a purposeful death as well. That's the sort of conclusion, isn't it, that brings us to, that he dies for a reason. He dies that we might be saved, that the lost can be found, that the sinner can be forgiven and restored. So he does so in order to deal with sin and give us life. He does so in order that when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, which we all have to go through, we can have hope and peace and his presence. Of course, Jesus makes the point that the shepherd stands in contrast to the hireling, that the hired hand who, when he sees the wolf coming, well, he goes, well, I don't care about these sheep. I'm off, and runs. But the shepherd loves the sheep. They're his sheep. And he gives his life for them. That's why he's the good shepherd. Because of his devotion, his love, his willingness to lay down his life for the sheep. So why is he the good shepherd? Because of his person, because of his devotion, and then thirdly, because of his knowledge of the sheep. That's what makes him the good shepherd. So look at verse 14, where we have again that declaration, I am the good shepherd. This time Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. So a shepherd in the Middle East would spend a great deal of time with his sheep. They still do so even today. They might go out for great lengths of time with them and be out for days on end, just him and the sheep. And the shepherd would get to know the sheep, of course. There are stories of shepherds being blindfolded and just being able to tell different sheep by their bleat. And often, as I said to the children, they would name them. A good shepherd knows his sheep. He knows who its mother is. He would have cared for it since its birth, encouraged it along, perhaps carried it when it got tired. He would have watched the sheep grow up, perhaps had to go out and get it when it wandered off or got stuck in some way. Knows the sheep, knows its character, its weaknesses and worries. And so Jesus, as the good shepherd, says, I know my sheep. You have it again, actually, if you got a Bible, in verse 27 of this passage. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. He re-emphasizes it again. And this knowledge is speaking about a loving, relational, personal, intimate knowledge. The Bible often uses that word know in that way, doesn't it? To speak of love and choice and intimacy. The Bible speaks about foreknowledge. That really means that God foreloves, chooses. So Christian watching on this morning, Jesus as the good shepherd would want me to remind you this morning that he knows you. That he knows you better than you know yourself. And he loves you. He would say, I know what you're like. I've been watching you ever since you came into the fold. In fact, I brought you into the fold. I've known all that you've been through. I know what you're going through. I nurtured you. I've helped you. I've carried you along at times. I've seen you through the hard times. In fact, the only reason you're here, still here, is because I've been your shepherd. That's what the Lord would say, wouldn't he? There's nothing about you I don't know. I know your strengths and your weaknesses. I know your joys and your sorrows. I know your doubts and your fears. I know your secrets and your sins. In fact, you don't need to pretend with me or hide anything from me because I know it anyway, and I love you still. That's what the good shepherd says. That's what it means when he says, I know my sheep. And as I said to the children, it says back in verse 3, he calls his own sheep by name. I mean, isn't it terrible when you bump into someone and you start having a conversation with them and you can't quite remember who they are and you can't remember their name and it's got too far into things to ask them what their name is? On the other hand, it's nice, isn't it, when you see someone and they remember your name, even though you don't, you know, you've only met them a few times. And you think, oh, they know me. They remember me. Well, Jesus knows his sheep. He knows us. That's telling us he knows us individually. He doesn't just sort of saying, oh, you lot. He knows us by name. He knows us each. He knows our cares and our worries. Brother, sister in Christ, the Lord knows you. Knows what you're going through. He's with you in it. He's the good shepherd. And that knowledge comes from the fact that he loves us and he's died for us. And he's determined to bring us safely to the end of the journey. None will be lost along the way. And he says back, go back to verse 14 a minute, because he says there, doesn't he? I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and are known by my own. So, in other words, this is a relationship. He knows us and we know him. He loves us and we love him. We know his voice. He knows our voice. But this is a relationship. He speaks to us through his word, by his spirit. We speak to him in prayer with the help of his spirit. You know, that's what we were made for, weren't we? We were made to know and be known. That's what makes us human. That's what it means to be made in the image of God, made with the capacity to know and appreciate and follow God. That's why we can never be truly content and happy unless we know God's. To know and be known, that's what makes us unique. It's what you need. That's why we could go back and say, that's why you need a good shepherd. And it's only Jesus Christ who can meet that. And so I want to ask you then this morning, do you know him? What a joy if you can say with David, the Lord is my shepherd. But can you say that this morning? Well, what's the sign of being one of his sheep? Well, it's quite simple. You hear his voice and you follow him. That's what the sheep do, don't they? They recognize the voice of the shepherd. They say, that's the shepherd's voice. Voices are amazing, aren't they? It's amazing how you could be blindfolded and somebody speak that you know and you can tell straight away who it is. We could probably do that with hundreds of people, couldn't we, that we know? Well, a sheep recognizes the shepherd's voice. Again, in the Middle East, and shepherds would speak to their sheep, and the sheep would get to recognize the voice of their shepherd. In fact, verse 3 of our chapter pictures a scene that would often happen where at night the shepherds would bring they would have a communal fold, perhaps at the village. And so when they came back to the village, they would put their sheep in there, and there would be more than one flock in the sheep fold. And in the morning, the shepherd would come and he would stand in the door and he would call his sheep and he would just speak, and his sheep would recognize the shepherd's voice and they would come and they would follow him. And that's the picture. And a Christian is someone who recognizes Jesus' voice as, this is the voice of the Good Shepherd. This is the voice of the Savior. This is the voice of the Son of God. I must hear. I must listen. He's speaking to me. And then we follow him. We follow him. A sheep recognizes that this is the shepherd. He leads me. He takes me to the green pastures and to the still waters. He protects me. He's with me. I'm going to follow him. And that Christian is someone who's come to see that Jesus is the one who can save them, and he's the Son of God. He's died on the cross, and they go, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to leave everything else. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to hear his word. I'm going to walk in his ways. I'm going to keep with his people. So is the Lord your shepherd this morning? If he is, what a joy, what a blessing. How closely are you following him? Have you wandered a bit? Is he calling you back this morning, Christian brother or sister, to open his word again and listen to his voice and follow him? If you've never come to him, then he calls you this morning, calls you to come. Come to me, he says. He says this, something like this. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, he promises that the one who comes to me, he will by no means cast back. He won't turn you away. You come to him and say, I need a shepherd. I am weak. I am lost. I am needy. I am a sinner. I have made a mess of my life. I need you. And you can ask him, you pray to him, and he'll become your shepherd. And he'll save you. And you can know that forgiveness and freedom and fullness that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is our shepherd. What a blessing that is. May God encourage our hearts then and make us long for him, to walk with him and know him and follow him more closely.